Come on. Well,
you come up with a new one then, because I have the next one.
Oh, what's the next one?
It's about darts.
Okay, let's hear it.
No, that's the next one. Do the first one first.
What's the first one?
What? No, you're doing it.
The first one?
The one we're doing now is yours.
The first what?
No, we did the first one. Now right. Now it's your turn.
For what?
Never mind. Hello and welcome to episode 179 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Keep talking, I'm drinking coffee.
Okay, is it good?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You know why? It's coffee.
Right.
Whoever invented coffee, Joe Coffee, I suppose?
Mr. Coffee.
Good Joe. Well, that's Joe DiMaggio.
Oh.
But either way, good job. Good job, coffee guy.
Just a shout out.
Oh.
can you buy coffee on Amazon?
That's where I would buy it.
Yeah, and coffee machines and bean grinders and
whatever. Mugs?
Yeah, sure, mugs.
Mugs. Here's an investment you need to make if you haven't made it already. Buy yourself a stainless steel coffee mug.
Okay.
And I don't mean one of these vacuum travel mug things. I hate those.
Okay.
Not a fan. But an actual coffee mug that is looks like a right Gesundheit.
That was my wife.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. She's really hampering the studio quality of this show.
Absolutely. I can't believe she's sneezing while blogging.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's blogging about sneezing?
Yes.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
At this point. And plus, Gesundheit's just awesome because it just means health.
Oh.
That's what Gesundheit means.
Great.
Healthiness.
Yeah.
What was I talking about? Coffee? Yeah, coffee mug. I get the stainless steel coffee mug because it goes everywhere. It is a travel mug. You take it camping. Plus, you look stylish around the house.
Okay, I'm going to get six.
Just need the one. That's the irony. You only need the one.
But no, I'm going to get them for all my friends too and click through our site.
There's no way you have six friends.
No, I have eight.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, so where were we? Amazon, you nailed it. Click through our site. Every people were doing it. Getting emails from people who actually, not only do they buy through our site, they tell us about it, which is awesome. Keep it up. Then
great.
You can buy
that
coffee mug you had your eye on.
Right.
Reminder of the shortened schedule, by the way. We're in week two of the short episodes.
Right.
Due to Canada and moving.
Right.
I'm not in Canada yet, when you're listening to this. But I'm close.
Okay.
I might be in the air. I might be over the Arctic Circle somewhere.
We're all riveted.
Have you ever flown over Greenland?
No.
I'm sure you have. You said you went to Russia.
Oh, then maybe.
So it was a real memorable day for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 30,000 feet in the air over Greenland, you know.
I don't think, again, my geography is a little bit weak, but we didn't go from Canada to Russia. We went from Canada to Finland, from Finland to Sweden, from Sweden to Russia. So would we have made our way over Greenland?
Did you fly from Vancouver or Montreal?
I would have been from Toronto.
Toronto, then no.
So no Greenland.
Then no, you probably caught just the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. I'm not a pilot.
Right. I'll have to get my globe out later.
Well, it's even more complicated than that because there are winds that affect it. And once again, the show is not short.
Right.
So what's going on, Adam?
Sandbags.
Sandbags?
Yeah.
Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
I decided to home make some sandbags.
Okay.
For my light stands. I just...
Because you couldn't front the $4?
No, because they're not easy. They're not easy to find.
Is that right?
Yeah, and so I decided, like, you can find them on like B&H, but then, you know, that's a whole thing where I gotta ship it to the U.S. and drive across the line. It's I mean, I'm for that investment, there's no point in me buying something like sandbags. So
have you already made them?
I've already made them, and I love them.
Oh, okay. So if I were to now tell you about a warehouse in Richmond that sells them for very cheap?
Yeah, it's still more of an investment than I needed. I made them very simply with stuff that I already had, plus duct tape. I was out of duct tape, so I had to get some duct tape. So, yeah.
This week's topic is going to be do it yourself.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
This is one of the do-it-yourself things that I had not thought of. So great! I want to hear more about this do-it-yourself sandbags during the topic.
Okay, so should I just stop talking?
Let me ask you again: what's going on?
It's getting to be almost summer.
Oh, you're supposed to just say nothing.
Oh, nothing. It's almost summer and nothing.
Yeah, I'm just packing. That's what I'm doing.
Great.
Packing up to go to Canada and move. It's exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more.
When was the last time you moved? It's been a while.
Yeah,
did you have kids?
Yeah, we had Sarah. We didn't have Jack.
But she was a baby.
She was pretty little. She was a little more than a year.
This is where the challenge comes in. It's because we are moving, but we still have to live our lives. So we have to determine, you know, how many forks can we get by with,
right,
in the next little while? How many dishes? How many plates? And that sort of thing. These sort of dilemmas that you think, wow, that'll make great podcasting material.
Yeah.
And then you find out you don't.
I'm glad you jotted these notes down.
Yeah. Great. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot a few pictures at the Children's Festival.
What is the Children's Festival?
Yeah, they have a Children's Festival in Vancouver every year. I imagine they do this elsewhere as well, but it's a big thing, and they get all sorts of different performers, local performers, performance troupes to come down to Granville Island, and they set up shop for, I think it's somewhere between a week and 10 days maybe. And
let me ask you a question. Did you get your face painted?
I didn't. Jack, actually, who loves getting his face painted, turned it down, but Sarah did not go because it was a school day, and Jack's preschool arranged to go like on a preschool day, and so I went with him.
Gotcha.
So there was there was face painting. He elected not to participate.
Wow.
Yeah. He did this cool bike painting thing where you get different paints. You spray the paint as a girl rides a bike, which is turning a wheel that ultimately you spray paint as it's turning, and it creates kind of a neat tie-dye effect.
Okay, sort of. That's what Jackson Pollock did, I think.
Sure. So we did that, and I took a few pictures of him doing that. And then they had this kind of outdoor musical area where they had all these instruments set up, like sort of made out of different household items. Some of them were actual real instruments, but some of them were made out of household items, like a big gong, and they were all things that the kids could interact with outside. So I took a few pictures because it was in some nice shaded trees and made for a really nice backdrop, and so just a nice quiet backdrop of nice bokeh. So took some photos of them doing that, and then we went to see a show, like a dinosaur show. It was kind of a very neat Australian dinosaur. Elaborate puppets that they kind of made it like a zoo, so they would bring out different dinosaurs, and the dinosaurs would interact with the kids, and tried to take a few pictures of that, but it was pretty dark, and because my kid didn't want to go up on stage and participate, I didn't really want to just shoot pictures of random kids on stage.
This evolution of your photography is great to see, man.
What, that I didn't want to shoot pictures of random kids?
Not the random kids part, but just the fact that the instinct is when you're at somewhere, not you, just in general for photographers, is, hey, you're at somewhere, you have your camera, you might as well shoot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a terrible ride home, thinking, oh my God, I have to edit the 600 pictures of other people's kids.
Yeah. I rarely do that, so I probably took 20 pictures.
But you've been there. You've been there where you thought later on, why did I shoot that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, done it myself.
And why did I shoot that 1,800 times?
Yes, exactly. Because that one is slightly better than that one, but I'm going to keep both of them just in case. Just so I have it.
Right.
So if I get a random phone call in 10 years, hey, do you remember the Kids Festival 2014 at the Dinosaur Puppet Show? Do you have 18 pictures of nothing?
Right.
Yeah, because we need those. But $1 million a picture, does that sound like a fair price to you? That conversation doesn't happen.
No, I'm waiting, but it's not looking stuff, good.
Well, there's stuff I shot in 2004 that I should be getting a phone call any day now.
Right.
Yeah, so there's that. I shot some headshots at noon.
Great. Outside?
Well, that's the thing is I did. I want, like, we shot some inside and out. Part of the deal was is the guy was coming over, and the only scheduling time he could make was like show up at like 11:30. And I thought, oh, that's perfect. Do you want wait? Hey, do you want to look good in these photos? No, perfect. 11:30 is great.
Yeah,
but no. So we shot some inside to start because it was a sunny day. It wasn't cloudy at all. No, zero overcast, which I was hoping for. So no dice, but, so we shot the white wall, the gray wall, that kind of stuff, and then headed outside just to go get some color because I wanted to, you know, give him some variety. And if you can find open shade, which I did, you can give yourself a lot of variety very, very quickly. And ideally, if you have nice open shade on a sunny day, you don't have to bring a light. You can, if you position your subject correctly, you can get some nice even light on their face without having to light it, which is what I did. But as you can imagine, at noon o'clock, open shade is, you know, few and far between.
Right.
You know, we don't live on the equator, so it's not like it's, you know, beating directly down on us. So there is shade on the north side of all the buildings. But it's not as much as you'd like to deal with. So if you have your subject in, you know, nice open shade, there's a good chance you're going to get a lot of your background is going to be well, like very, very brightly lit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the issue. That's what you have to look for. And that's essentially what I looked for. So it's limiting, but it also can open you up to some interesting possibilities, which it did.
And it's a bonus to not have to use lights.
It is a bonus. I did bring a bare flash just to add some fill off camera. With a half CTO on it, just to kind of warm it up and a little bit. Even though it didn't, I could have got by with a quarter, but I'm not going to cry about it now. Too late. Right. Essentially, what that means is once I dial in the correct skin tone, the background is going to be a little bluer than normal. That's the only thing we're dealing with, which in this case worked out just fine. So what I would do is find some open shade or mostly open shade as a background, get the sun to backlight my subject for a rim light, and then blast some fill flash in. And that worked out quite well.
Nice.
So there you go. Again, would have rather shot at a different time of day or an overcast, but didn't have that option.
I'm doing some photos coming up in 2 weeks for high school seniors.
Really?
And so I think I'm doing a group of six girls, high school seniors, and of course they want to do it on the day that they're getting all their makeup and hair and everything done. And again, it has to be before they go off to the ceremony and everything else is going. So I think we've got like from 1 till 2:30 in the afternoon to do this. And of course they want to do it outside in and around Steveston. So that's good advice, what you were talking about in the open shade. And I know where we're going. I'm not sure how much open shade there is, but it'll be interesting anyways.
What sort of, when you say Steveston, what sort of?
The shipyard.
Oh, the shipyard by the... Because all of Steveston's like a shipyard. Oh, I know what you mean. Very, very popular.
Yeah, they actually have a children's festival there in the summer.
That's right. That's what I was thinking. That's when you said children's festival, I thought we had missed it. But no, that's coming up. There is a decent amount of open shade and old looking things. I have shot exactly in that location you're talking about. At that time of day, as a matter of fact. Probably at 11:30, so a little on the other side of noon, but relatively speaking, very similar. And you can find it. It's just what I find difficult is to get that deep, deep, deep background that you like. Because part of what, you know, separates oftentimes good photos from not so good ones, from amateur photos, is the background, right?
Yeah.
And so if you basically put your subjects up against, you know, a wall, that actually can look fine, but it's nice to have a lot of depth in the photo.
Yeah, especially because they're going to that location for a reason. They kind of want to include that location. But the upside of it is that at least I'm going to have my photo assistant in the way of my wife with me, so I can bring some lights and have her help me move them around.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I probably will bring it. If I can do without some of the lighting, I want to have that option. And I'm probably going to try to give them a few different looks, a few different spots. So I will definitely be bringing lights for that.
Good, good. Yeah, it's and maybe get an overcast day. That'll be
that's what I'm hoping for.
But on the other hand, that location, if you want to shoot, because there's one shot that I'm sure you have in mind, and that shot works wonderfully at sunset, and obviously they'll be busy throwing up in their purse at that point, but you want to include that the wide shot of the whatever it was, the cannery build, whatever building that was, that's the actual shipbuilding that's hanging out over the water,
right?
You know that one over the Fraser River. That's an iconic Steveston shot that you can get from the wharf. There's a wharf nearby that shoots out, and you can get that in the background. It's a wonderful shot. If it's overcast, it kind of can take away from the whole ambience of the day.
Right.
So you get good skin tones but bad scenery. So that's a trade-off.
Yeah.
I say you convince them to go back a different day.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I already made the suggestion, and they're not having anything of it. They showed me what they're hoping to achieve, and the pictures were definitely not great. So I'm pretty sure I can at least deliver what their expectations are. So
there you go. Yeah. That's key. Photo challenge.
Right.
Continuous light from last week.
Okay.
So let's get into this. We talked about last week about how to, you know, shoot with continuous light versus flash.
Right.
And so here we go. Let's get into it. You or me first?
Let's do mine first. I think we did yours first last time.
We did. So here's Jack in his June toque.
This is our daycare lady who takes care of Jack and Sarah and does some before and after school care for us. She knitted the kids these toques.
Mm-hmm.
So
is this a Monsters, Inc.?
No, this is the Minions from Despicable Me. There's the regular Minions, and then there's in the Despicable Me 2, there's the bad Minions that turn purple. And sure. So she's been, again, making these purple Minion toques, and they are wildly popular at Sarah's school. So Sarah and Jack's were the first two purple Minions, and now there's been requests all over the place. So this is the ad for the new Minion toque. This is product photography here with the continuous light. Yeah, I was going to give it to our, because she's making these toques for kids around the school for free, doing all the work and producing one or two a day and giving them away. This is just how sweet this lady is. And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna take a picture of one of these kids, and then maybe you can make a few bucks off of these toques. So
So
I took one of Sarah and one of Jack, and then I thought, oh, this will work well for our photo challenge.
Okay. And so you lit this with continuous light.
Yeah, so I used the two soft boxes with the compact fluorescence. And then just to throw it in, I didn't need it at all, but I threw it in anyways. I used the video light, and then I matched it. Because the light, the CFLs say that they're 5600. So then I just dialed the video light to 5600. And I was just curious to see if I'd be able to tell any color change differences, and I couldn't tell at all.
Right.
So there you go. So I got three lights, the two soft boxes, one on either side of him, slightly feathered in front of him. And then the video light from behind on his back, the camera right and behind him.
On camera, right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Great. So it just gives you a little bit of a little bit of the light on his hat and a little bit of the light on his shoulder.
I see.
Yeah.
Great.
That's it. I do like, I don't remember what the ISO I shot this at, so this is just in my living room, so a beige wall that turns dark brown. Mm-hmm. And but I like that, again, you can kind of play around with the catch lights because, again, you get to see exactly where they're going to fall. Mm-hmm. And I like this picture in particular just because of the tongue in Jack's mouth. Like, he is a big, when he concentrates, when he laughs, he does all kind of weird things with his tongue. So I just, to me, this was a picture that rang true of Jack, and a laugh is this tongue sticking out.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever use live view when you compose these?
No.
You're going to. Okay. I think you're going to. This will make it go very, very quickly. If you have a tripod, obviously, is best.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to be, but it would be best. If you use live view and then you have an assistant who can move the lights very quickly, and you can basically just call out directions very fast, and you can see the result even better, you know, in terms of what you see is what you get. You can see what the final image is going to look like right there on your screen, exposure-wise and everything, and then just boom, fire away.
Mm-hmm.
Very handy.
Okay, I'm gonna
kind of cheating.
Gonna tinker around with it a bit. Yeah, usually I just I sort of eye it up before I even look through the lens. I just kind of look at where the light's falling on his face and everything. Mm-hmm. And then once I get it where, again, forget the camera, I just assume after I get the light where I want it, I'm going to be able to quickly get the exposure. But yeah, I'm just kind of standing up close to him. This is my personal technique. So I'm not looking at the camera. I haven't even taken exposure. I'm just playing with where I want the light to be. And he's sitting on a little photo stool. And so I know he's not really going to change unless he moves his head back and forth slightly, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna take my chances on that. But I get the light where I think I want it. And then once I've got that, then I actually I figure out what the exposure is going to be.
There you go.
So well, I don't know if that's the technical way to do it or not.
Well, I say that because, you know, in my not so humble opinion, I think the light on his right cheek is a little hot. It's okay. Coming on my monitor anyways. Maybe it's different on your monitor.
Yeah, it looks fine on mine, but again, right. We seem to be slightly apart on most of these
right.
monitor calibration things.
There you go. So then never mind.
Yeah.
So great. Looks great and probably simple to shoot.
It was very simple.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now yours.
So here's mine. So I also used a softbox on the camera, right? I didn't use a softbox.
Right.
That's a lie. I just lied to you.
This is the bathroom light.
Yeah, I packed all my lights. But I knew that, or actually, I also have my lights in Canada. So I could reshoot this when we get to Canada if it'll make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a softbox and I have movie lights. Like, they're not LEDs. They're actually plug-in incandescents. Halogen? What are they? I don't know what they are. But I have a big softbox and a couple of hard lights. And so I can basically reshoot this if you're going to be, you know, a crybaby about it.
Mm-hmm.
But last week when I suggested this, I teed it up for you specifically. Now, that being said, the bathroom lights do kind of serve this purpose. So I went and flipped those on, let them warmed up, because they are CFLs.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I'd get some directionality out of it and some bounce from the tile on the opposite walls, and it would fill in nicely. And so that's how I shot this. So this is shot with the bathroom lights.
Okay.
So good call.
Yeah. What kind of ISO here?
ISO is actually relatively low. I'm pretty sure it was ISO 320.
Really?
Yeah.
Which camera is that?
That's the 5D Classic.
Okay.
I'm relatively certain it might be 640, but I'm pretty sure it was 320.
It just gets kind of grainy.
Already, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, there's a little bit. This is the whole thing with high ISO. ISO noise isn't necessarily based on high ISO.
Right.
It's also based on the amount of light in certain areas and how much light you're capturing. You still have to. It gets technical. It gets technical. So we don't want to get into that today.
Okay.
But there is a certain grain to it, and which I very much like in the 5D. you know. So this is the 85mm f1.8. I believe it's right at, racked out to f1.8 to get as much light as possible.
Yeah.
And at a decent shutter speed. White balance was a mission because these CFLs are not specifically balanced. I think honestly, this is probably at around 2200 versus the 5600 you had on yours.
Okay.
So yours are specifically dialed in to be daylight. These ones were just, you know, IKEA for the bathroom.
Right.
And consequently, you have to really dial it way, way, way down to get a decent skin tone. And even then, the colors are a bit hinky, I find. But what ended up happening is my daughter had just the day before done a face plant off of the playground.
Mm-hmm.
She went to jump onto a slide and didn't hit the slide, but instead fell all the way to the ground and face first.
Right, okay.
And had that little shiner. So I was very proud of her busted up face.
Yeah.
Until I saw a picture of your daughter.
Yeah.
And then that was, she trumped Emily, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Did you post that picture on Facebook? No, you didn't post that?
I didn't post it because Sarah took it as a selfie with her iPod.
Real quick, your daughter wiped it on her bike, right?
Yeah, she totally ate the pavement. Yeah. And but she wouldn't let me take a picture. I wanted to take a proper picture of her.
Yeah.
For documentation purposes, and she completely shut me down, so she was having none of it. So of course she's like, no, I will take my own photo with her iPod. She did, and then she asked Lisa would post it. So she did post a picture of Sarah with her face, her chin got racked up, and
from the time she fought Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and she, you know, she lost a tooth, but it was a baby tooth that was already a bit loose. But yeah, mm-hmm. she was a bit of a, she has the big split lip, and it's big puffed out, so she definitely looks like she was in a fight. And I was quite proud. I was quite proud of her and how she handled it. She toughed it out, so she only cried for about 3 hours, and then she was fine. but you know, she toughed it out, and she was pretty much fine. That happened yesterday. She was fine today. So
will she sit for a photo today?
Tried and still not.
Still no, really?
Would not do. I even asked for you. I said, oh, Al would love it, so maybe. And the thing is that by tomorrow, I think it, you know, it's going to lose some of its luster. Like the swelling's going to come down. So
you're telling me you're going to sucker punch her?
Well, maybe. No, I just think that her photo, her selfie might be the only documentation of this incident.
Well, that's pretty good too. Yeah. I'll send her a photo I have of me with my front tooth missing, and maybe she'll want to then emulate that.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'll send that photo over. I have that photo. I have many of those photos, but I'll send that photo over.
Great. I'm sure she'd love to see it. Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, there's my kid in the bathroom. The end.
It's I like her. She's got a very cute pose. So. I like that. That's the little coy smile and the head tilt and the hand position. And so it's a cute picture.
It's the Are We Done Yet Daddy pose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as you know, the window for this is, I hesitate to even use the word window because that makes it sound too big. Like it is milliseconds that you have to take these photos, I find, with a 2-year-old.
Oh yeah, and I'd get ready because Jack went through a stage where he would take photos, and he's right back to like not taking photos. So I took 5 of him, and that's the one with the funny smile. I don't remember what got it, but the other 4 are the sternest, like saddest looking faces ever. And I was gonna give you one of those because I think they're actually quite funny, but Lisa suggested that I go with the smiley tongue face.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. This week's topic: do it yourself.
Great.
So, Adam, you're a do-it-yourself kind of guy.
Love it.
Is do-it-yourself worthwhile?
Absolutely.
Always, every time?
It really depends on how much time you're investing. For me, I like maximum return for minimum investment.
Maximum return. Yeah. Oh, yeah, your ROI has to be... That's exactly how you have to think about it. What's your ROI on this?
Sure.
Because there's some things that you want to buy. Like if you were to go out and build your own camera, your own DSLR from scratch, probably going to cost you a few bucks.
Yes.
And time.
That's the big one for me is time.
Yeah.
So for me, I did the math on, oh, how expensive are some sandbags, mm-hmm. and how much time is it going to take me to order, drive to, collect, and pay for those versus what do I have at home to make sandbags that will cost me nothing and take no more time than it would take me to go and buy them.
So what do you have?
So what I found is, I just looked up on YouTube, first of all, just to get a few ideas of what people do for sandbags. And I saw a very simple one where people just basically took a couple of large Ziploc bags, filled them with sand, and then duct taped them together. And I thought, okay, but that to me seems like something that, might at some point fall apart. And so what I found
No. It will.
Yeah.
Not
so
might.
What I found was I like the original idea, but I wanted something that was going to be a little bit more durable because I only want to make these once. So I found...
Even more importantly than that, you don't want them to break on a client's carpet.
Right, yeah. Any of those things. I don't want those happening. Mm-hmm. So what I found was this is one of the downsides. Like Lisa has a bunch of... You get these small, almost like... They're not burlap, but they're like nylon bags. When you go to a Lululemon and you buy something, they give you these reusable nylon bags, which for the last 5 years, I don't know, we've collected a bunch, and I use them for lunch bags. That's mm-hmm. They're kind of large lunch bags. And so I thought, oh, perfect. We've got these bags and they have handles on them. And so we had at least four. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to fill a couple of large Ziploc bags with sand because I live very close to the beach and I can just take a little bit of sand. I don't think the beach is going to miss it. No. And then I double bag them in these large Ziploc freezer bags. And then I put them into the Lululemon bags. And then I folded them, duct taped the bags, so the bags within the bags, and mm-hmm. then I fashioned by taking the handles and I tied them together, and then because you're gonna drape it over, so you kind of want to have the weight at either end. So now, with using two of these Lululemon bags taped and everything together, you make one sandbag light stand weight. So then I made two sets, and so because I generally I'm never gonna take more than two light stands when I go outside somewhere to use this because it's way too much stuff for me to pack on my own. So mm-hmm. now I figure I've got two. They're probably, I haven't weighed them, but they're probably ballpark about 12 pounds a piece. So I have these two 12-pound sandbags to weigh my stands down. And I tried them out, and they work magnificently.
Now, for what? What do you use the sandbags
for? Well,
if I'm
going to take my stands uh-huh. and anywhere around children, for one, or certainly outdoors, because I've had an issue a couple of times when I go to Gary Point and try to shoot a family picture or something with the wind catching either the umbrella or even just, again, bumping the light stand and having your flash go over. So mm-hmm. I've been lucky on a few knockdowns. I've yet to lose a flash, but I don't want to keep tempting fate.
No, absolutely. I'm surprised you went this long without sandbags because I highly... And we haven't done a show on them until episode 179, Do-It-Yourself Sandbags.
Right.
You think we'd have done this earlier because they are highly valuable. I bought my sandbags for about the same price you paid for your Lululemon bags. But there was an investment of driving across town to get
right.
them. So yeah. It's a break even, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But that did the exact same thing. It basically filled them full of beach sand. In the Ziploc bags, same as you, and then put them inside these canvas bags.
Yeah.
Wildly handy. I have three of them because I have three flashes. I would love to have more. Sandbags are wickedly useful for all kinds of stuff. A pain to carry, though.
Yes, yes.
So you know, that's if you want to hire your own grip to haul them around for you, that's a good idea. But it's more than just... You know, worrying about your flash. There's a certain liability as well. Let's say you're at a client's house or office or something like that, and your light, you know, you bump your light, it tips over and smashes into something valuable at their place. You're on the hook for that,
right?
And you know, you likely don't have insurance for that, as you do here in Germany. You kind of you have to have that. There's that sort of insurance that's required. If you haven't taken the proper steps, you're going to be in big trouble. So definitely, I've actually rented sandbags in the past.
Really?
Because I needed a whole bunch for something. Yeah, I mean, if you need a whole bunch of sandbags, you know, I don't want to keep stock of, you know, keep a dozen in my house and then have to haul a dozen to the site every time. So I actually rented them, picked them up on the way and used them. And I think it was like $2 a day or something like that for each. Totally reasonable at the time. And get the job done and save yourself a lot of heartache.
And I did watch a video that someone made showing making sandbags where they went to the dollar store and they found these nylon sort of zip bags and they more or less did the same thing. They filled Ziploc sand and then into the nylon bag and then basically taped two of them together or zap strapped two of them together.
Uh-huh.
And then did the same thing. So again, I imagine most people, if nowadays with these reusable bags, if you can find any of the small size ones, they are super convenient to do this. Or like I say, a trip to your local dollar store to find some kind of nylon or canvas bag,
mm-hmm.
And one that has a zipper, even better.
Best to go with the heaviest you can, the heaviest, like thickest material.
Mm-hmm.
If you can go with a thick canvas, because the bags will burst over time. That's what ended up happening to me is I double bagged them and then put them into my canvas bags. And over time, because you're dropping your sandbags, you're not mm-hmm. placing them mm-hmm. gingerly. You're tossing them down all over the place. Over time, they will basically burst and leak, and eventually, you know, you can fix that. If you catch it in time, you don't dump it all over the client's carpet. But that will likely happen. So if you have a very thick outer case, you're going to be sorted. But definitely look into them. Now, someone said to me, "Wow, you brought yours from Canada. Like you flew over here with those three sandbags. That must have been heavy." Here's the tip, Adam. I left the sand at home and I filled them up again here in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are wise.
I was surprised that somebody asked. Because they honestly asked me, "Wow, how'd you get that on the airplane?" We're no longer friends.
The other thing that that I thought people might have, if they still have around the house, you know those old ankle weights that everyone used to own, did their exercises by, you know, mm-hmm. Velcroing those ankle weights around. If
yep.
anybody's got those would probably work quite nicely as sandbags. Probably wouldn't want to travel with them. I don't think you'd be able to empty the sand or whatever is weighting them out. But
right.
One of those things that some people seem to still have. So if you have those, or if your parents have those, grab those. Those are just as useful.
They come in. Those are wickedly handy as well. I mean, we're talking about putting them on the light stands. Like you basically put your light stand down and drape the sandbag over one, probably two of the legs. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Now, you probably do the same thing. You look at it as okay, which way is the wind blowing? I'm going to put it on the opposite side. Like so, if the wind is going to catch my umbrella as a sail, I'm going to put it on the opposite side so it pulls it back.
Right.
You don't want to have it on the same side.
Right.
So that's how we do that. Now, another good use for it is you can actually add heft to your tripod. You can hang this on your tripod to give a little more stability when you're shooting.
Okay.
If you need it. For stills, you probably likely don't need it. For video, you might. I have a little hand, like a little dolly, like that. I'm sure you've seen these kind of things for video. That basically runs on the tabletop.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like a little three wheels that just runs on the tabletop. But the downside is it's very, very light, which is great for travel. But that coupled with a very light camera means you don't get the smoothest motion. So I solved this simply by adding a sandbag, draping a sandbag around it. Now we have a little bit more heft to it and it's a nicer movement.
Okay.
So these are all the uses of sandbags.
Great.
And last little tip for you, because I know you're using continuous light.
Yes.
In tied in with this isn't sandbag related. When you are plugging your continuous light into the wall.
Okay.
Before you do that, take the cable that comes down from the light, run it straight down the stand. Put it underneath one of the legs. Okay?
Yeah.
And then plug it in the wall. That way, if anyone catches it, the first motion is actually will pull the light down instead of tip it over. If you just plug it directly into the wall, you now have an easy way to tip your light over. This changes the degree of tippiness, to use a science term for you.
Okay.
Are you following me? What to do?
Yes, run it okay. Straight down the light and then underneath the light stand leg.
One of the legs and possibly
then into the outlet.
Yes, and possibly under the sandbag as well. And that's going to really, that'll go so far to stabilize your lights against somebody kicking them over.
Okay, good tip.
Okay, next week's challenge, not sandbags. Or do you want to do sandbags?
No, let's not do sandbags.
There's no way I can shoot interesting sandbags.
Mine are made of Lululemon bags, though, so the bags are kind of interesting.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not made for everybody, though.
No.
Ooh. Too controversial late in the show?
Yeah, don't go there.
Whew. Okay, next week's challenge, let's do shoes. I have something in mind.
Okay.
So it's going to be shoes. Do what you want with that.
Great.
Adam, where can people find your stuff?
Facebook, Two Hosers.
I've heard
go
of it.
Go there. Mm-hmm. Look at them.
Comment. Tell Adam how great he is.
Like them. friend me.
Do you check back like every 35 to 40 seconds to see if people like your stuff? Or do you have like a alarm set up in your house?
No, I have none of that.
Nah, I beg to differ.
Yeah, I go to Facebook almost never unless it's to post something.
Right. Oh, you're a one-way street kind of guy. Good for you.
Pretty much. I don't think I've liked anything ever.
Yeah, well, that's it in life too.
Yeah.
I try to like things in on Facebook just sort of because you're supposed to. It's part of the social contract.
I think I have, actually, that's a lie. I think a couple of listeners who've posted stuff that I actually truly did like, maybe, and again, I'm talking about, I can count them on one hand, mm-hmm. that I've actually made either a comment. I don't think I've ever done the like thing. I think I've just made comments.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like the like thing is everybody just kind of gives you the like as just a way of kind of acknowledging that maybe they looked at it. I don't know.
Don't start because I don't 100% get Facebook. I'm getting it more now, Facebook, but I get the same idea. Like it's a drive-by kind of comment without commenting.
Right.
Which is fine. You know, you do want to acknowledge it. And I guess when you like it, you do share it with your friends. I think other people see what you like in your thing. Go,
I also like that. What it does. Okay.
I get that impression. Again, I haven't done my Facebook homework. But I think that's how it goes. And so it'll be like, oh, hey, you know, Steve Johnson likes this. And then his friends see it and they go, oh, man, I want to listen to the Two Hosers photo show. That looks awesome.
Okay, so then maybe the like is good.
Yeah, no, I want to encourage people to like our stuff for that reason only. Not for Adam's own personal satisfaction.
Right.
But to help share it with your friends. That's the like part of it.
Okay.
I wish it wasn't called like. I wish it was called something else. Maybe just, I guess acknowledge is just kind of long.
Right.
But, hey, you exist. That might be a thing.
Okay.
That's what will be on my version of Facebook, just for cynics. It'd be really fun. Everyone will really love it. Just tons of cynicism and sarcasm.
Yeah.
Great. Check my stuff out at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and all the stuff you need. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.